Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Howdy, race fans. How the hell are you? Another episode of Racing with Big Sweat. Glad to have y'all here tonight. I'm just now kind of getting caught up here.
I'm here.
Call
I'm
in.
Here.
Yeah,
I'm here.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good enough. Well enough. At least we're on the air here. Craig Moore, are you there?
Not yet. I don't see his number on the board.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, we're waiting on Craig to get in. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to this year's last episode of Racing with Big Sweat. It's been a great season with not so great circumstances. Of course, Steve Billmeyer passed away at the first of the year. He was the host of this show. I was just a measly old little co-host, and after Steve left, it kind of just wasn't right to close the show, and I've done this for quite a while, and I was fortunate enough to find Craig Moore, who also has been doing this for a good while, and we've just made a show out of it, and we want to thank you guys for supporting us throughout the year, and we're looking forward to coming back even stronger in January of 2018. We're still waiting on Craig there, Mike.
Yes, sir. You got to text him or something?
Yeah. So we've had some interesting things happen the last week with the chase and all, and of course we got to see Denny Hamlin get payback, I guess is what some people could say. I'll be honest with you, I swing it. I call it like I see it. And Denny Hamlin said it best. Yeah, how can you say one way and then do it yourself? And, you know, it's about winning, and that's what racing's about. And I commend NASCAR for not getting in the way of that. It's nice to see these guys being able to battle it out and kind of police themselves. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. Chase Elliott is a young driver, and I've never seen any cup driver at the highest level allow a rookie to win or a young driver. They have to prove themselves. And I remember Jeremy Mayfield bumping senior at Pocono for the win. He was just racing him, and Earnhardt acknowledged it, and, you know, Mayfield was the winner there. So, you know, it's just been the way that it is in racing, and the, you know, the more hungry you get, the more chances you're willing to take. It didn't work too well for Chase.
Hold on. I'll let Craig in. Hold on.
Okay. Yeah, there's Craig. I tell you, it was going to be a boring-ass show if I didn't have my co-host on.
I apologize. My boy's got a big social studies test tomorrow, so we were just going over definitions.
Yeah, we had to battle a six-year-old tonight for homework. At least Mama did. I heard the screaming and the hollering, so know how that one goes. We were just talking about the Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott situation. Now, both of them are not in the playoffs, and they can thank each other. They did a really good show of showing a ass for their both of themselves. I didn't really take up for Denny. I figured, you know, I would stay as unbiased as possible. I did claim that what happened at Martinsville was just a racing incident, and Chase was playing the conservative, went into the corner. Should have went a little bit deeper. He knew Denny Hamlin was there. Well, all this bowled over again this past weekend at Phoenix, and, Chase thought that he was going to, taste victory once again, and he tasted what second place tasted like. And, I once again compare him to the likes of Ted Musgrave and several other drivers that have had a lot of second place finishes just not able to capitalize. I'm not saying that Chase will not capitalize. Race fans, what I'm telling you is you're too easy to jump from Dale Jr. over to Chase Elliott, okay? It's a father and son duo, sure. It's a lot of fans, sure. They've always been the most popular drivers. It's either been an Elliott or an Earnhardt. I get it. I understand it. But we can't just shrine Elliott as Dale and Bill, okay? He's got to go out here and he's got to earn it. I will not sit here and say Chase Elliott doesn't have talent. He's proved all the way from 15 years old to where he is now that he belongs in the Cup. But he's going to have to learn how to win, y'all. And booing and hooraying one way or the other, just because it's your guy, hey, that, do what you do, because that's racing, that's what it's all about. But seriously, guys, seriously, think about it. Chase took advantage. Yeah, they were roughing each other up, but isn't that what we want? Okay? So whether he was right or wrong, whether Denny Hamlin was right or wrong, the fact of it is we had an exciting weekend. We got plenty to talk about. Craig, I'm going to go ahead and bring you in on that one.
All right. There's an old saying, and it's in sports, and it's just about in anything in life. You've got to lose a bunch of times before you actually can appreciate your first wins. And yes, that Chase has a bunch of second-place finishes, but when he gets that first win, he's going to appreciate it so much more, and it's going to be so much more deserving. Now, I watched the race, and I seen him. Who in the hell thought that Matt Kenseth had a chance to win that race?
Well, that's tough to say. He is in the best of equipment. I think it's storybook. But there again, I mean, we just went from the nightmare on Elm Street to the Cinderella story. Well, I don't know if Cinderella would be the right analogy for Matt Kenseth. But we definitely changed the storyline real quick, being that Kenseth got the win that everybody's been – that Junior Nation's been waiting on. How about that? Go ahead, Craig.
Absolutely. And I guess the reason that I flipped it quick was that – I myself was sitting on the couch watching the race and thought, nice, Chase is going to win this, and he's going to secure his spot in the chase, in the championship four. Then as I noticed Kenseth getting closer, and closer, I thought, Chase is going to choke like he has many times. And true, and I hear Mike laughing in the background. True to point, he choked.
It wasn't that he choked, Craig. I mean, put your hands around your throat and squeeze all you want to. You're not going to be able to squeeze them Goodyears for 80 laps. I mean, that's the point of it. He took too much of a chance for no reason. He could have ended his weekend even earlier with the tire rub that he had with Denny. You know, it just seemed like, you know, this is Chevrolet's only chance to get in the championship, and he blew it. He blew it. He blew a chance to be there. And, you know, he should have been more conservative with the tires and waited for a late caution or something to that effect. I don't have the true answer here, guys. I just know for a fact that Chevrolet is not being represented in this year's championship race. Matt Kenseth did what he had to do. He ran Chase Elliott down, and I tell you what, it couldn't have been a better story, right?
Oh, I agree. Chevrolet has not missed a chase in quite some time. And I'm looking up the stat now, but it just amazes me that there is no Chevy in the chase. I mean, I knew for a fact that Johnson wasn't going to do it. I knew that he'd be on the outside looking in. I thought he'd do it earlier than he did. But, but it stuns me that Keselowski, who limped his car home in 16th place, and Chris, you and I talked about this the other day, how he knew that he didn't have a fast car, and he knew he didn't have a competitive car, but he knew where he had to be to secure his spot in Homestead. Kind of think it's true that.
And the story with Keselowski is they come into Sunday's race basically with no chance in hell. And I know that we use that a lot around here, but that's exactly the way that that team felt. But they also understood that if they played the points game and they stayed out of trouble, that it was still possible. And that's exactly what Team Penske did, and that's exactly why Brad Keselowski is in the championship race along with fellow Ford driver Kevin Harvick. You know, it's no doubt in my mind that the Fords don't belong there, but Keselowski, he played his own race. As a matter of fact, there at the end, if you've seen Craig, he was dropping positions. He had a motor issue that was going real fast, that was going bad real fast. His temperature was well up above, but they knew that they had to finish the race to keep from losing all those position points. And, you know, talk about being able to breathe at the end of the race. You know, that's that Team Penske, you know, they're going to come back to Homestead completely aligned at zero with the rest of the other three championship chasers. And we're going to have us a new race. But, guys, you know, don't leave out the fact that Kyle Larson, after so many races without a DNF, man, he's had two motor blowns, motor issues in the chase. And I was argued that, you know, he belonged at Ganassi. I think the accord has been given. How many other blown motors have you seen from Chevy from the top tier teams? None, but yet mysteriously, Larson has had two blown engines in the chase. It's kind of one had me wondering if there wasn't some real push to get Larson to go over to Hendrick, and this is the ultimate price of what he gets. Also, before we get too much deeper, I do want to say this. I read this article here today, Craig, and I don't know if you caught it earlier, but all the chase cars have been sent to research and development in Charlotte. The four cars for this weekend's championship race have already gone to R&D, and they have been approved for race ready this weekend. So basically, all those guys are going to have to do is roll through inspection, and those cars are already ready to roll for the championship. And the reason why NASCAR is doing this, guys, is because there's been a word we've heard all year long: encumbered. Well, here's one of those situations where somebody can win this weekend, one of those four drivers, have the win encumbered, and also have the championship encumbered. So NASCAR is doing everything possible in the beginning to keep that from happening. But we all know that once these cars get out there, they're like Transformers. We just hope that they don't transform into something that could cause them a lot of problems at the tech center on Tuesday. So that's just a little bit of info there, guys. I didn't know if y'all knew anything about it yet, and so we'll go
from
there.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, the first time in history that cars were pre-teched. So these cars were given back to the race teams, and they were sent to Homestead. You know, I guess if they've messed with them in any form or fashion, it's at their own transgression, and I would hate to see a penalty from NASCAR if these cars have been fooled with.
I have to think, Chris, I have to think also that the reason they did it is they figure now, okay, everybody passed, okay? Now, it's the teams individually that messed with it, and that's, you know, that points to the team directly. And that's, you know, they have no argument then as far as, okay, we did this, you know.
Right, I'm expecting that NASCAR expects these cars to show up at the racetrack with the same paper notes that they had in Charlotte. And the reason behind this, like I said, is to keep one of these guys from going outside the box, because NASCAR does not want to be shamed and give a trophy and then have to give the championship the next day after media day, because that's what's going to happen, guys. These cars are going to go to R&D on Monday, and on Monday, that's going to be when the champion is touring around to all these places. So it would be quite an embarrassment if this situation were to happen. I find it to be highly unlikely that it will, because all these guys have been given the same level playing field. In other words, everybody knows that if their car goes beforehand, they're going to be on the same level playing field, so nobody's going to, so to speak, rock the boat. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I just
I think it's a great idea, like you said. I think it's a great idea because we all know that these four cars are going to go through, and if a win is encumbered, I hate that word. It's going to be from something that the teams did Friday to Sunday. And that's all there is to it. Personally, I think what should have happened, this is just me, that the team NASCAR should put these cars on lockdown once final practice happens on Saturday. These cars go on lockdown, and nobody can touch them. They have security there or whatever, and those cars aren't touched again until they roll them out to the starting grid on Sunday. That way, there's no chance of anybody messing with anything.
I have no problem with that either. No problem at all. I think that that's a great idea. I think it'll be something also that NASCAR will probably look into in the future, especially if there's any problems that happen. But I don't expect there to be very many problems unless you have one manufacturer snitching on another. And I'm sure that that's already gone on anyway as soon as the cars showed up at the R&D center. But, you know, of course, it's Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, and Kevin Harvick going down to the line. That's in the Monster Energy Cup Series. Craig, you got any topics, sir?
Yeah. I was looking at some stats earlier this week, and my name's not Mike. I was looking at some stats on the points. Excuse me, from 2004 up to actually 2013 was as soon as I could find it. If they had went from the point system they got now to what they had then. And my, how the landscape in Hendrick would have changed. That's all I can say about that. There wouldn't have been a seven-time champion, another seven-time champion. Gordon would have had another championship. Harvick would have already had a championship. Kurt Busch wouldn't have had his first championship until 2009. Carl Edwards would have been a champion. Kyle Busch would have been a champion in 2012 instead of Keselowski. And actually, in 2013, Dale Jr. would have been a champion. So, how the points would look different in 2004 compared to what they look now.
I'm astonished that you said Dale Jr. would have had a championship.
Yeah, according to the points, he would have been the reigning defending champion going into the 2014 season and not JJ.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, thanks, Jimmy Johnson.
What's that?
That's what Junior Nation wanted to hear.
Well, you know, I'm a part of Junior Nation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm jumping ship and rooting for Chase Elliott either.
I'm glad that you come out and stated that because, I feel like Junior earned my fan. In other words, there are ball players, there are people who stand out all the time, but it's always that one, and there's always a real reason why you pull and say, that's my guy right there, you know, like Eric Church right now, that's my guy, you know, that's my guy of country music, because, you know, that's my guy, man, he sings songs like me. You know, Dale Jr., his life is completely different than mine, he was given the passion of racing from his father. He was given a chance. His dad was proud of him. There was nothing that pleased Junior more than making his dad happy. He was a great pick her up or for the sport at a time where a lot of guys were getting old. We're talking about, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s. These guys were getting old like they are now. And so, you know, Junior brought fresh blood, and then his entire career was always charaded with this and the other. He can't win. Teresa's not giving him championship cars. Teresa's not going to share the shop with him. The old Lance McGrew situation where, are you quitting on me? I ain't quitting on you. How many people backlashed against Junior then? Junior earned the fans that he has, and all I'm saying is, let Chase do something before everybody jumps on the bandwagon, because we're down in a veteran here, and one of the stupidest posts I've seen all week was, boycott FedEx. Are you freaking stupid? I mean, I don't normally use words like that, okay? But the fact of it is we don't need sponsors leaving this sport. If you think that you need to boycott FedEx, well, you go right ahead. But the moment you put on there on a Twitter or whatever else, you're trying to make a national stand. We've seen, you know, Colin Kaepernick gets Man of the Year, of course, you know, for kneeling for the national anthem. And J.J. Watt raised $32 million, but, you know, that's unheard of. I think we're getting upset at the wrong situation. And I really do believe that Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott is a great rivalry, but let's not be one-sided on this. You know, let's not be one-sided on that situation. I hate to bring that back up, but, you know, it's definitely a situation that I believe, you know, it's going to get out of control. There's a lot of fans that are jumping ship right now.
No, and this whole boycott FedEx, hell, I'm going to boycott you, the United States Postal Service. I was supposed to get a package yesterday, and I ain't got one, and it was guaranteed delivery. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. You know, here's my issue with Chase, is that, yes, while he's earned things, he has yet to earn, in my eyes, the respect of his peers.
Exactly. You said it.
You can't come in, and it's just like anything. You can't go into your job, you're a new guy, and expect the veteran to kiss your feet because you've got the pedigree. You got the pedigree, but son, you ain't done nothing with it yet. Just because your last name is Elliott and you're in a Hendrick vehicle doesn't mean squat. You still got to earn the respect of the people.
I think the more question is, why haven't you won yet? These other guys that have had less opportunity or had to earn the opportunity, it took a little bit longer in their career, they're like, hey, you know, what's your problem? You know, they were so hard on Junior. Why aren't they hard on Chase Elliott? Come on with it. You know, hey, we'll shift gears real quick. Let's talk about the Xfinity playoffs. You got Algier, Byron, Hemric, and Sadler. And three junior cars and a Childress car going at it for the Xfinity championship. And, guys, somebody's going to get crowned the champion in the Xfinity series this weekend. Without spending too much time here, it's hard for me to bet against William Byron right now, okay, guys? And I want to say this because William Byron is a special talent, okay? Eric Jones is a special talent, too. I've been trying to juggle in my head who's the better talent, you know, out of all these young guys. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Blaney? Is it going to be Elliott? Is it going to be Byron? Is it going to be Bowman? You know, who's going to be the one that stands out? Who could be the next three-time champion, you know? Byron just seems like the guy. And I know Algier's got a lot of experience and Sadler's got a lot of experience, but all William Byron has done is win, okay? And I will tell you guys right now, based off his confidence, based off the equipment that he has, based off of where he's going to be at next year, there's no other 95% chance that William Byron will be crowned your Xfinity champion. Is there any argument to that?
No.
Hold on.
Am I back on
there? Yes, you are.
Okay. I don't know what happened.
Yes.
But
yeah,
as I was saying, as I was saying before I got disconnected, there is a legit chance Junior Motorsports has three cars in there. Byron, and I concur with you, Chris, that he is going to be your Xfinity champion. I don't know if anybody else can touch him. We'll just have to wait and see until Saturday.
I mean, this is a no-holds-bar, one race, anything can happen. We're putting our money on a kid who's 19 years old, okay? And Allgaier's in his, you know, in his 30s. Sadler's in his 40s. Hemric, who just seems to be the dark horse of it all, you know, Daniel Hemric there in the 21, he got passed up for the Cup ride by, you know, another competitor, Brennan Poole. You know, Hemric seems to have the chip on his shoulder, but I guess the story would be Byron. I mean, if I were to paint the headline, Byron didn't win. You know, either if not, then you know it's a done deal. I mean, this is probably the most locked side of the championship that I've seen, and it's not because it's not going to be competitive. It's just because I just believe William Byron, until he stops winning, guys, I'm going to be, you know, next year is going to be a great time for Hendrick Motorsports because there are going to be three guys out there saying who's going to win first. Chase Elliott, man, you've had 2 years already. You might need to win Homestead. Go ahead, Craig.
They're going to have to do something with Chase getting back to the Cup side. They're going to have to do something with Chase. If they think putting him in Daddy's number next year is going to make any difference, nope. Because he's probably pissed off, excuse my French, one of the most seasoned veterans besides Jimmy in Chase right or in the series right now, and that's Denny Hamlin. And say what you want, but
wait a minute. Are we back on talking about Cup again? Or are we talking about the Xfinity?
No, you said something about Chase, so I went right to that.
Oh, okay. All right. So I hate to pull a Dan Patrick on you here, but can we come back over here to the Xfinity real quick? Just hold that thought with Denny. Denny's out of the championship. That's confirmed. Mike, go ahead, Mike.
I got one thing on the Xfinity, okay? Byron's good and everything else. Next year, watch out, because you're going to get Ryan Preece for 10 races. And I've seen this guy on Long Island, all over Connecticut. He is the real deal, okay? We saw him win one and I think second and fourth in the other three or four races he was in. He now has a 10-race deal with JGR for next year. So he's going to be a factor next year in Xfinity. Mark my words.
Yeah, go ahead, Craig.
I don't really think he's going to be. He's only got a 10-race deal.
This is once again where he doesn't have enough money to fill a full ride, guys. And you know, it's a shame because I think right now, you know, a great battle between Ryan Preece and Stuart Friesen, man. I mean, you know, it just seems like that sounds like a great battle. And it would kind of be right up there for you guys, from the short track racing up around y'all's way. Preece has proven that he has the instincts and all. He hasn't proven that he's marketable. And unfortunately, in a time like this in Xfinity, these rides are going to fill up just as quick as these drivers move to Cup. There are Truck Series drivers being implanted in the Xfinity Series. So when you have a guy like Ryan Preece who's only getting a limited amount of money, can only buy a limited amount of ride, he's really, you know, he's putting himself against, because if Harrison Burton and Todd Gillian and all these other kids that are up and coming, John Hunter Nemechek, if they get full-time rides, then they're going to be talked about 28 more times than the man with the 10-race deal. So that's – I hate to sound like Kyle Petty here, but, you know – Craig Moore, you're exactly right. It's just probably not enough to elevate this kid's career, right? Is that where you were going with?
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm going. You know, that's exactly where I'm going with it. To me, he's not a factor. He's not racing 35 races. He's not racing a full schedule. So, in the movie, in the Rocky movies, Rocky says, "I don't sweat you." Same thing. These Xfinity Series regulars are not going to take a part-timer serious. If JGR was serious about this Preece kid, they would have found funding for him to run a 35-race deal. And you know what? I would say the same thing about Treason. And he's a hometown boy for us. But I'll say the same thing about him. I don't consider him a threat in the Xfinity Series if he doesn't have a full-time ride.
Yeah, that's kind of what you have to weigh it on. You know, Landon Castle is a perfect story of that situation. There's a lot of Gary Gaudings out there, okay? And let me tell you something, guys. You know, we're throwing names out there, and we'll be held accountable, okay? If one of these guys wind up proving us wrong, we're going to be the first to say, hey, we were wrong about him. But I think we've already seen the next level of talent. And as you said, Craig, the boy's got something, but he doesn't have – we haven't ran in this situation with Christopher Bell. We haven't ran in this situation with Eric Jones. We haven't ran in this situation with Daniel Suarez. You know, so now it seems like the pot's full and – you know, Ryan Preece may be searching in the wrong manufacturer, at least. Go ahead.
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. What do you got, Mike? Chat us up, buddy.
Just an aside, another thing that happened this week, I just read about it yesterday. We both have talked on this show and other shows about Tommy Baldwin Racing. Timmy Salamito from Long Island is going to go to Myrtle Beach this weekend and run a modified the 7 New York NY for Tommy Baldwin. So that'll be interesting. And the car that Tommy Lula was running before, so that'll be interesting to see what happens there.
Yeah, Stats, if you can work on something for me real quick. There was a driver that lost his life at Myrtle Beach. Would you get that name for us real quick so that we can give a proper recognition to that fact? Since you said Myrtle Beach, it kind of hit my mind. I think it's Jared something, but I just need a quick stat on that. He was 56 years old, and unfortunately he lost his life on lap number 3. There was a terrible wreck down in Phoenix City as well. They canceled the races on Friday night, airlifted the boy out of there, and he was okay. He was also driving a number 3. So Friday night was a night that a lot of people will want to forget. But it's racing, guys, and, you know, we want to remember that guy's name for the proper way. I had it written down, but I'm not around my notes right now. So also, getting back to point, like I said, with Algier and Sadler, I've watched Sadler choke it up a lot of times, y'all. He could be the dark horse. He could be the surprise in the finale. But Algier really is the one that I think should be probably the favored for the championship, considering, you know, his experience behind the wheel and all. But it's after watching last weekend and seeing how the truck race and the Xfinity race and the Cup race all played out, it was really, I think, all together, it was the true Game 7 that we were looking for in racing with the playoff structure. There was a lot of exciting racing in all the classes, a lot of hooping and hollering. You know, it was kind of like watching the B main at the big race at the end of the year and knowing that, you know, the top four are locked in. You know what I'm saying? So you're not really watching the front of the guy, the guy in the front. You're watching the guy who's you know, locked in, who's in the catbird seat and has the fifth-place guy trying to run him down, because that's normally where the best racing is, right, guys? I mean, that's kind of the way I felt after this past weekend. And I hope that the ratings are shooting through the roof. Phoenix was sold out. Martinsville, of course, it was a tough track to sell. Texas had a great crowd. But we'll go into the truck series here in just a second. Craig, you got Mike, you got anything else on the nation on the Xfinity side?
I'm looking for it. I'm looking for the. Oh no, I'm looking for the moon. No, I got nothing else.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, and Tommy Baldwin racing, I really thought had a big thing going, but unfortunately, you know, I think Tommy's back on the pit box and he sold his equipment. So you know, we'll always be pulling for Tommy Baldwin racing. I have a deep connection with the racing staff over the PR people over there that handle. Damn it. That handle. Tommy's media stuff, and so I hope them guys are able to get back on track pretty soon here. We'll take a look at the Truck Series Championship in just a second here. Let's see. So we've got
leading the charge in the Truck Series Championship.
Yeah, Bell.
Yep. No.
No? Sauter.
Johnny Sauter.
God bless America, Johnny Sauter.
And then we have a vet, we have a rookie, we have a vet, and we have a rookie. We have
Crafton and Sauter seem to be the show stealer here.
Yeah.
I think Bell's going to upset them all, but I could see some bad blood now between Crafton and Sauter after being teammates for a long time. Go ahead, Craig.
No, I just think it's funny, not funny, haha, but funny that the veterans are 1-4, and they are sandwiching in. They are bookending the rookies, or not rookies, but the. I'm sorry, I apologize, I misspoke. We have Johnny Sauter, Cendric, Matt Crafton, Christopher Bell.
Yes.
So we have one in three are the veterans.
Well, Bell, you're giving Bell too much credit, man. He's only been around a couple of years. Last year was kind of a part-time gig for him.
That's why I'm saying.
Yeah, this year it's been full force for Bell, and
right.
You know he's got to be the favorite. Based off of how the Kyle Busch Motorsports teams have been. But Cendric seems to be the odd man out here, and I'm sure most of y'all agree.
Oh, absolutely, you know, and a lot of that, part of that has to do with manufacturer. And listen, I love Ford. They keep me working every day. But I just don't see how the numbers game is going to work in either Sauter or Cendric's favor.
I don't know, man. I don't see how you can count Sauter out of it. Johnny Sauter is having the time of his life right now. And, you know, Crafton seems to be the one that's a little grumpy right now. So, you know, like I said, I think this is a back-to-back for Sauter. He's the defending champion, and I'd like to see somebody unseat him. Does Bell have what it takes to win? Yes, but Bell can't keep his fenders off his teammates. Come on.
Well, that's that rubbing his raisins.
Yeah. That's all Kyle Busch needs is more fender benders.
Listen, you can't tell me that you wouldn't wreck your brother if it was coming down for a championship.
I'd wreck my daddy, I'd wreck my brother, I'd wreck my grandma. I'd also go check on my grandma, but I wouldn't my brother or my daddy.
Listen, if it was coming down to a championship, as much as I love my mama, I'd put her in a wall. And then I'd go check on
her. I always tickle my dad when we talk about it. I said, Daddy, if me and you's racing for the Daytona 500, what would you do? He said, so I'd race you. I said, Daddy, I'd wreck you.
It's only going to hurt for a little while.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually,
I wouldn't
go check on her. I'd send Dana because I'd be scared she'd kick my rear end. But
yeah, I grew up in the time where everybody thought Davey let Bobby win that Daytona 500, and I know that Davey didn't let Bobby win. I know he didn't. There ain't nothing better than trying to beat your dad at a foot race. I can only imagine Daytona 500. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
We all tried to outrun Daddy when he had that belt, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. A few of y'all don't remember that one, didn't you?
Mine was the side of the boot, man.
Yeah, I think Mike's trying to say something. Yeah, go ahead, key up, Mike.
Jackie Ward.
Yeah, 56 years old. A racer that's been around for quite a while. He had his own team. Had Batman, as a matter of fact, on the front of his car at the race.
Right.
Lost a racer way too soon. And what we mean by that is anytime we lose a racer, it's way too soon. This is a wonderful sport. We have suffered tragedy time and time again, but, you know, everybody always does everything that they can to make the sport safer. And I believe that nobody intentionally puts somebody in a car that I think is a dangerous car. I think lack of knowledge happens a lot in the sport. Don't try to save weight by taking out something that's going to save your life. You know, that's probably the biggest thing. Jackie Ward, he'll race forever. Just another racer gone too soon. Get back over to the Cup Series, guys. I think we've spent enough time in the Camping World Truck Series. Congratulations to whoever is the winner there. I think it's going to be a real good race. There's no reason to leave the boob tube this weekend. It's going to just be action-packed from top to bottom. There's going to be drama, guys. There is going to be drama in these races. And you can thank NASCAR for giving us this awesome playoff system. I believe this is the year that it shined. This is the year that it made sense. This is the year that Truex Jr. got a free pass. But it's a lot easier to swallow than the free pass Kyle Busch got a few years ago. Come on now.
The free pass he got in 2015 was totally, I feel totally uncalled for. But they did it the following year for Tony Stewart. So you can't necessarily, NASCAR was even, and they kept it.
Calling the kettle black, no doubt here, no doubt. Now, guys, I think the biggest threat for this weekend is the closer. I know that everybody's been waiting on my pick, and I've said it 19 minutes too early. But, you know, Kevin Harvick, that team is just running on something right now. It's running on something that I think it's deeper than how good the motor is or how good the parts are. I've watched determination from Tim Richmond to Alan Kulwicki. I've seen over the years the best drivers wind up first and second at this race at Homestead. We've seen it with Carl Edwards and Tony Stewart. All this is clicking for Kevin Harvick. And you talk about somebody who has earned the Dale Jr. fans, who's earned the fanhood, that has stood behind and has carried the legacy of Dale Earnhardt and drove for Richard Childress in a seat that nobody else would have really wanted to sit in and accomplish the things that Kevin Harvick has accomplished, guys. I mean, I know I sound like a bandwagoner, and you can call me whatever you want to, but outside God Bless Johnny Sauter, God Bless America Johnny Sauter, I just don't see – I think Kevin Harvick's just peaking at the right time, and I'll be honest with you guys, he's earning my fanhood, that's for sure.
I think the thing I like about Harvick is that he knows when to win. He knows when the time is right, which is why he is the closer. He knows how to capitalize. He knows how to keep his car running tip-top. The one thing that I do like about this weekend, and we touched on it earlier, and I'm going to reiterate it, is we're all going to 4,000 points or 5,000
oh, yeah.
points.
It's even.
It's an even playing field. So that means that Keselowski, as much as I don't really care for Brad, he has a legit shot. They all do, all four of them.
Well, Paul Wolf is no joke. I mean, you know, Paul Wolf, this is so much as a battle for the crew of the crew chiefs as it is for the drivers. These crews and crew chiefs have to be on cue because guess what? Stage points are still awarded. You know, there's going to be points given two times, and you know, you're gonna have these drivers are gonna have to capitalize, or they'll find themselves in a no-win situation real quick, real quick. Go ahead.
I just think that Keselowski's got it. He's got a legit shot as the other three does. I think he's got a lot to prove from last week, and you know, Paul Wolf is another guy. He's from my area up here in upstate New York. I didn't know that till last year. But, you know, but I'm going to give you my pick now, and it's not going to be who I was originally thinking. I'm going to go with Kyle Busch.
I knew you were going to do that.
I love you, buddy. But
oh, my God.
We can't agree on everything.
No, we shouldn't agree, but, I mean, you know, that in itself is blasphemy. I mean,
that just cost me my co-hosting slot. Shannon, you best get
no,
ready.
No, I already had it got picked out anyway, so it doesn't matter. If you're quitting, go ahead. I didn't fire you.
No chance.
No chance in hell. That's the
That's
hot
right.
seat right there, y'all. Taking resumes next week. the reason why I say that is because now you've given them a chance. Now, you know, now the obvious has been spoken. You know, and I would like to add to that, and I was going to wait, but I'll go ahead and put it out there. The most heated exchange is going to be between the two Toyotas. It's going to be Busch and Truex. Are they going to ruin it for themselves? You know, are these two guys going to get tangled up and it's racing for a stage win because every win matters, and next thing you know, they're loading up and headed home, you know? This could
all
be
right,
possible, man.
A couple of years ago, and I didn't get to watch too many races on Fox this year because of the DJ schedule was pretty heavy in the spring, but you know, on Sundays. But Darrell Waltrip uses a word very, very frequent.
You mean to tell me that you had me on your show and you wasn't even watching NASCAR? No wonder you needed me to talk the whole time. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I would DVR it.
Okay. Go ahead. Back to what you were saying. I'm sorry.
Darrell Waltrip has a very good word, and he uses it quite frequently, called coopetition. Coopetition. They're going to cooperate for competition until there's no more. You get down to the last 10 laps at Miami, forget that you guys are teammates as far as satellite team or whatever.
I'm not worried about teammates here, Craig Moore. As a matter of fact, I think that these two are rivals. I think that they rival. I think Truex feels like he has something to show Kyle Busch, who's been the hot hand at Toyota for all these years. You've never talked about another driver at Toyota other than Kyle Busch because Kyle Busch has brought you all these wins. Now Martin Truex Jr. has been the tail of the tape, okay? And this is going to be a situation where I believe these two are setting up to be the biggest rivalry that Toyota could have ever imagined. How great thou art to have a rivalry within the own company and you make both their motors. You see what I'm saying? You see where I'm going here, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you and I have talked about this. We talked about this last week. We've talked about this in the last 4 or 5 weeks. The motor for Truex comes from JGR. Conspiracy theory?
That may or may not have to be confirmed there, Craig. I do know that they have an engine shop in California where they develop TRD. Now, at what point in time JGR's motor shop gets a hold of it, I'm not really sure. So that leave that to be known, guys. We may be wrong in that department, but I do believe JGR builds the motors for these cars. So go ahead, Craig. I'm sorry.
So if that is the case, if JGR builds these motors, there is a chance that they, I don't want to say they do something to them, but they're not on the same playing field, if you will, with Kyle Busch's motor. Or go on better, they build them out at TRD, and they like Kyle just a little bit better than they like Martin. They don't. It's a conspiracy theory, I know.
Well, and you know, it's not like that motor situations haven't happened before in the past. That's the whole reason why Jimmy Johnson left Chevrolet and went to Ford, because he had made some heads at one point in time, and NASCAR needed to prove them. Well, Jimmy Johnson found out that his heads were at the Hendrick shop, and so he had Edsel Ford come down the next day, and they signed a contract to race Fords after that. So, you know, it's something that, and we're talking in the same situation with Kyle Larson. He could have been sabotaged. We don't know. You know, I hate to sound like the conspiracy radio guy, but, you know, the conspiracy radio guy, you know, give me another Bud Light, man. You know, so where's your tinfoil hat at, man? Oh, yeah, smoke this, okay? So anyway, who was that? Was that Bob Marley, dude? I mean, who the hell was that? Anyway,
I don't want anybody in the studio anymore.
Jeez Louise, man. Made me lose my train of thought. That guy sounded like Cheech and Chong, man. What the heck?
That's what I thought. I thought maybe it was Cheech or Chong.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. So Chase and Bush, they're going to be a big rivalry. I'm not sure that TRD or it's not in the best interest of Toyota to be sabotaging their own damn motors, and I'm going to tell you that right now. It would be ridiculously stupid to not to disimprove your chance to win, because as of right now, you know, it's not 75-25, it's 50-50. Okay, there's four guys, there's two champions, two manufacturers, okay, one champion, okay? So, you know, the likelihood is 50-50 that they're going to win a championship just based off of there's two and two. So, go ahead, Craig.
No, you're absolutely right. Mike was getting ready to say something, but I don't know what it was.
Well, I was just going to ask you, are you trying to say that JGR doesn't like Martin as much as Shelley Pollux does?
Oh, yes, man. Yeah. I think that JGR loves Martin Truex Jr. because it really – what it shows is the development that Joe Gibbs has been able to bring in another team, a satellite team, and he's able to manage it all together. I know Coach Gibbs. I know Coach Gibbs from football. I know him by following him. I don't know him personally, but I know I've watched his business and how he grows. He is a coach from the inside out. He wants everybody to work together. It's offense and defense, and you have to work together. And so this whole situation where the teams got upset at each other, that's called competition. But we're talking about a car owner who's benefiting from this on both sides. So it is a very tough situation for Gibbs, being that Martin Truex is actually a driver for Barney Visor. But we have to understand who the head honcho is of Toyota right now in NASCAR. That's going to be Joe Gibbs. So he's sitting there with benefits on both sides. He's getting paid on both parties. He's the most unlikely guy who would want something to happen to either one of the teams. Go ahead. I'm on my tonight. How about that? I done made y'all shut up. Look at there. I done took the show over. I'm captain of the ship. Captain Jack Sparrow.
No, I rode him all year. And it's got to be. No, it's you know, I'm picking Martin. You know, Jason.
You're picking Martin.
Really
You're
me.
Going with Truex.
Yep.
Wow. Oh gosh. I mean, have we not learned anything yet? But go ahead. Yeah, I want to hear your theory behind Truex. I really want to hear it.
I just feel that if you look at the season as a whole, okay, had a remarkable year. It might not carry over to next year, but I'm saying for this year alone, I think this is just one of those situations. They say it in all sports. I think it's just his year. I really do. I liked Harvick in the beginning of the year. He disappointed me. I had him pegged for the Western swing because he is tremendous. For some reason, I know he's from Bakersfield, but I know he's tremendous out west. And this year, he showed up at the last race at Texas, you know. And he to me, he's had a really down year, an un-Harvick-like year for him. And just the opposite, Martin is just, it seems that team is doing everything right, okay? Even when they lose, Martin Truex gets like second, okay? Which in the way the points are, in the way stage points are, second is not really a loss. Yes, it's not a win, but if you can get, I mean, Martin Truex has proved if you get second place points all year long, you're going to be fine. I just
you
think
know,
it's going to
be fine come Sunday.
You're trying, I mean, I'm trying to make it as if now Kevin Harvick becomes the underdog, and that's a scary situation. I mean, we have to give the underdog to Brett Keselowski, but, you know, you go back to Alan Kulwicki. Davey Allison had every chance all year long to lock that championship up in 92, okay, guys? Without a doubt in my mind, Davey had a better year on stats than anybody. Unfortunately, Davey had two stints in the hospital that year, both having to do with a head concussion and one of them having to do with a broken wrist as well that I believe he suffered at Pocono. Two bad wrecks, of course, you know, the one at Charlotte for one hot night in the All-Star race, you know, and Bill Elliott quietly pieced together a great year in 92. And of course, if it wasn't for Swerve and Irvin, Davey's day wouldn't have ended as quickly as it did. But, you know, the underdog of that race was Alan Kulwicki, you know, so putting Harvick and Alan Kulwicki in that type of scenario, yeah, that's how it played out in 1992. Now, whether or not you put Keselowski and Harvick and you can kind of inter-switch those two guys, I'm not really sure. But if this is 1992 all over again, Harvick seems to, even in underdog perspective, he seems like he fits the boot. The boot fits. I mean, I just think that Harvick's banging on all cylinders. He's got everything that he needs. He's the veteran. He's got the crew chief. He's got the crew. He's got the team owner with his arms wrapped around him, wearing a cowboy hat, telling him, yeehaw, you know, let's do this, Harvick. Your time's coming up short. You know, Truex Jr., you've still got a few years left in you. And the way you're racing now, you've still got quite a few years left in you. Kyle Busch, you know, you've been bridesmaid more than once. Kyle Busch, you've proved over the years you've found a way to lose championships. You know, as for Keselowski, he doesn't want to spend the rest of his life like Rusty Wallace. That one championship when he was younger and chased it for the rest of his career. I think that had a lot to do with Rusty's early retirement. So Keselowski's going to be eager to get that one there as well. But I'm satisfied in y'all's picks. I think that y'all really worked your way around the board. You really studied about who you believe is going to win this weekend, and that up beyond anything. I've heard you guys' arguments all year long. I know where you stand. I can believe that you're really going to pull for Bush, that you're not pulling for him. You just expect him to be the one to win. Mike, stats, I feel you, man. I mean, I see where you believe Truex is there. And, of course, my guy, I've already picked Harvick. You know, that leaves Keselowski. I mean, are we leaving Keselowski out of this? That guy, he's eager, y'all. Keselowski has proved us wrong so many freaking times. I didn't think that he would make it his first year in full-time Cup. I definitely didn't know how the heck he got into the 09 with James Finch and how in the heck he wound up winning that race at Talladega. But Brad Keselowski, he's the reason why Junior Motorsports is where it's at today, y'all. I mean, are we going to count Keselowski out of it?
Well, I think, and this to me is what Keselowski looks like as far as if I look at those four guys, okay, Martin, Busch, Kyle Busch, Harvick, and Keselowski. Of those four, it reminds me of a situation like when Carl Edwards was the fourth guy and the one left out in the cold on the last race. He finished fourth of the four guys. I'm not saying that Keselowski won't try or, I could be totally wrong, and so could you guys, but I just think that, like I said, I think the team is operating on all cylinders. I think Martin's driving the way he has to drive, but I think that Keselowski's going to be the Carl Edwards of this year. I don't remember what year it was, the year before he retired. Was it this year, right? So 16 when he retired.
He had that bad wreck there with two laps to go or whatever, yeah, and was going to go chase down somebody, and it was Logano, and got up there and shook the hand of the crew chief.
Right. And finished fourth, right, of the four guys. I think that Keselowski, when you name the other three, I think the other three have chances to finish higher than him.
We're talking about NASCAR here, guys. You just brought me back to how that last few moments of the 2016 season, how it so beautifully orchestrated itself there was hope there at the end for all four drivers, and then piece by piece it slowly went away, and that's poetic. It's poetic. It's poetic.
If I had to pick the four guys and where they would end up, I would say Martin first. And this is in the field now. You're going to have guys also that are not, are not in the chase, but they're going to be racing. That's NASCAR. But in order, I would say you're going to look at Martin, Kyle, Harvick, and Keselowski. That's what I see. I could be wrong, but those are the four.
All right. Craig, you've been mighty quiet over there. Did we cut you off too many times?
Nobody. I'm used to being cut off. I got a long-winded Long Islander and a long-winded Mississippi boy. I'm used to being cut off.
Yeah, yeah. Mike, it's all your fault. Sit down.
Okay, you got it, why don't you close out the show?
Right. We catch you standing anymore. Your ass is grass, okay?
That's just wrong.
Oh, Stats, I love you, man. Oh, it has been a year this year. It seemed like the first few weeks of the show, everything in the world just said, hey, man, just take this year off. And, it didn't go through. Steve and I had some big plans. And, of course, Steve and I worked together for a long time. And so we always, encouraged each other to do our best. And when he left this world, I kind of didn't know what to do. And it's been an awesome addition to have you, Craig, on this show, allowing me to cut you off and sound like I'm the big shot here. And I know it has to be a good time for y'all, or you wouldn't keep coming back. Because I love talking racing, and of course that shows every week when we get on this show and cut up and all. And I just couldn't thank my partners. Y'all make this what it is, because I could sit on here without commentary from you guys, and I would get very tired of hearing myself talk very fast. But as long as y'all are in the background giving me something to talk about, giving me something to argue with, giving me something to feedback, you know, that y'all make the show. Y'all do. Not me. I just feed off of what y'all say, because if I were to sit, I mean, it would be the most boring hour in the world to hear me just talk. I would really start talking like a typewriter, you know, because they say if you don't have much to say in radio, just make sure that you talk a long time. So, you know, I hope I didn't sound CBS Evening News there, but, you know, hey.
I got something to say real quick. Here is my final four. Are you ready? I got a couple things to say, but
we need to hit that Denny point again that I left you standing on. I hope you remember what it was. Go ahead.
I don't, because my ADHD and old age is kicked in. That's a hell of a combination. Here's my final four. I've got Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
You cringing yet, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Harvick. Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
Brad Keselowski.
Yeah.
And Stuart Friesen.
Martin Truex Jr.
And Martin Truex Jr.
My goodness gracious.
So here's what I think we should do. What kind of store you got? What kind of nice stores you got down in Mississippi?
What kind of nice stores?
Yeah.
Well, every kiss begins with K.
All right, you can send me jewelry. I'm good with that.
You're talking to a Southern aristocrat here, son. There ain't nothing better than jewelry. Gold. We love it. When you say nice, I go to the either the jewelry store or to the tractor. To the tractor company, to the John Deere place. Come on.
All right. So now you all got my final four. I will let Mike talk, because I know I won't get a finger in edgewise, and he needs to sit down and relax for a second.
Man, chill out, Mike. Just chill out.
I want to switch gears for just 1 second. It's very important. I just posted on the 110 Nation Sports page. The
Mike,
King of Dirt
Mike, I think you should sit down for this. Okay, go ahead, Craig.
I'm already done.
Would you look at that? I gotta send you that video, dude, after we get off the air.
Oh no, I've seen it 1,000 times. I even cropped the guy out one time. I've got some snare too. Go ahead. Get it out.
I just posted on the 110 Nation Sports page the King of Dirt Racing Series post, which I am honored once again this year to be their DJ and MC for their banquet. And a very good friend of ours is up for driver of the year in their class. His name is Chad Edwards. We had Chad on earlier this year. So I just put that on the 110 Nation page. His car is owned by a very good friend of ours, Tom and Sharon Spencer. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and if everybody can go on and follow the directions in the post, I would greatly appreciate it. I know Chad would, but that's all I got. But you got my final four, and I'm telling you what, everybody's high on Truex. I think the boy's going to choke. I think he's going to pull a Chase Elliott, and I think he's going to choke. He's going to choke on a turkey bone, breast bone, 3 days early.
Well, I've said it before. I've watched him lose races. I mean, you know, some people know how to win, others don't. I'll give you my top four real quick. I got Kevin Harvick, of course, taking home the win. He's going to have to outrun Brad Keselowski. And I have a feeling that Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. are going to collide together in a stage, and Kyle Busch will just barely edge out Martin Truex Jr. So I've got Truex Jr. in fourth. I think that's two against one. So what you know about that, Wheels?
I could be wrong, but I wouldn't abandon my pick.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm never wrong. I'm seldom wrong, but I'm always right.
There you go.
Yeah. And I don't ever lose. I just either run out of gas, run out of laps, or run out of time.
Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of running out of time, we're running short on time. I think we got another 10 minutes. So let's recap some stuff, shall we?
Go ahead. Danica Patrick still doesn't have a ride.
No, she doesn't. And that's sad. And it really is. I mean, you know, the girl's got talent. I haven't figured out where yet, but she's got talent. Don't ask Ricky because I'm sure he'll tell you.
I've seen talent.
Have you now?
Yeah, follow her Snapchat.
I haven't seen that thing on Epix about her yet, and I want to. I see the ad pop up on my YouTube all the time. But it's sad that the girl doesn't have a ride, the lady doesn't have a ride. I like her raw emotion. I don't necessarily care for her language coming from a lady. But then again, if you're going to listen to her in-car audio, well, she's no different than one of the boys. But she's definitely not treated like one of the boys.
I think she's treated a little rougher.
I think she'd be a great fit at Ganassi. I think that Ganassi would have been a great fit for her a long time ago. And maybe Ganassi can help put something together for her. I'm not counting out the fact that Chevrolet knows that she's very marketable. And Chevrolet may just be ready for her to end her contract with Ford, and that could lead into something else there too. But go ahead, Craig.
Right, and is she willing to end her contract with Ford? That's the other thing.
Yeah, especially if you're nunchuck, especially if you don't have and you can still stay on and Ford pays you to walk around and be pretty at the racetracks, then, you know, I mean, that's what she's getting paid to do anyway, but go ahead.
No, that
was a shot over the bow.
And see, we're going to have to find a new host.
I mean, Ted, we're over there now.
I guess I'm going to have to step up and be host. I guess you're going to be fired
next week.
Another Danica. Shots over the bow.
Danica down. We would say man down, but it's woman down, woman down.
And Matt Kenseth says that he's...
Mike, sit down. It's okay. Chill.
Matt Kenseth says he's going to step away for a year. I don't know where our other illustrious producer is, Mr. CJ Forbes. But the man
where
needs to go.
Where is
back.
CJ? Where is CJ? No sports here.
Go ahead, finish that.
No, I probably don't need to. I bet he's
you know,
show
he's, adamant that, he's adamant that, you know, Kansas was going to find a ride.
If you listen closely, you'll hear Mike right now texting Jason and telling him, oh, just wait until you hear what he said to you on the show. This is their mating season, mate.
There's not going to be. There's no chance in hell that Kansas is only going to take a year off and then come back. We've seen it happen with Gordon, where he retired, quote unquote, came back and ran Junior's car last year, and he had issues. They
were unlike Gordon issues to have. Why? Because as he said, and these are his words, and I quote, "These cars have changed so much in 6 months that it's going to take me a while to find a handle on it. If Fender sits out a full season, he might as well be considered a rookie and put a yellow stripe on the back of his next Monster Cup ride."
Yeah, you know, my father swears up and down that Kenseth is going to have a reunion back at Roush, and Roush is going to let Trevor Bain go at the end of the season. This is not something that Roush hasn't done before. It's definitely a possibility. I just think that Kenseth emotionally is now prepared to retire. And when you have a driver who prepares his mind to really retire, you see Dale Jarrett stepped out of the car. It was time for him to go. Darrell Waltrip stepped out of the car. It was time for him to go. When they set their mind that they're going to retire, very few times do you have a Mark Martin who, really just asked for some time off. I mean, he didn't want to retire. He wanted time off. He wanted time off.
And, I mean, that's a grueling schedule. I mean, I don't know any other schedule that is truly like theirs. Football, they have a 16-week season, 20 weeks with preseason.
Yeah, 24, I think, total. They're basically half the year.
You have baseball. They play 180 games, but they don't play the entire time. They get a break.
It's spring training starts in February. The World Series is over November 1st. So if there's any schedule that's like the NASCAR schedule, it would be Major League Baseball. But you're right, Craig. You are absolutely right. The grueling schedule is it takes a lot out of these drivers, and we're talking now. We're going to end the season this weekend, but the 24 hours of Daytona is the third week in January, and Speed Week starts the week after the Super Bowl. So we'll be back racing again.
I cannot wait for the Super Bowl. Because as soon as the Super Bowl is over, I count down to NASCAR.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, the whole week off from the Super Bowl, I'm biting my nails because I know that, 2 weeks from now, yes. Yes. Precious.
Yes. But, it's been a hell of a season. I mean, we got one more show left, the wrap-up show. Next week.
Yeah, we're going to invade y'all's airtime probably Monday, Mike. Me and Craig are going to come on, and we're going to corner you and CJ Sports, and we're going to talk about the end of the season here because we don't have a final show. This is the final show of the year. Based that next Thursday is Thanksgiving, so we're going to invade y'all's showtime on Monday. Just give us a 30-minute time to call in there, if y'all don't mind.
We could have a nice war room discussion.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot to talk about, y'all. It really is, because if you think the show's over, the fat lady ain't sung yet.
Nope, my ex-wife is still kicking.
Well, I do want to take a minute real quick to my son lost his brother, his oldest brother this week, and my ex-wife's oldest son passed away. He had myotonic dystrophy. And he was born with it 6 months. He had 18 surgeries before he was 6 months old. He lived to be 20 years old. It's still a tragic situation for the family as they're coping, and, of course, a terrible situation for my son, being that he lost his older brother. So just thoughts and prayers for the Moore family and of course, my son, Jamie.
Absolutely.
Yeah, didn't mean to make it real there, but, everybody in this situation, everybody here at the 110, we're family, and we may spit and spart with each other, but in reality, if anybody ever tried to make fun of any of you guys, y'all like family to me, I'd beat their ass. I'd straight up beat their ass, even though Craig Moore does try to out-talk me in these shows. I don't really like that.
The only one that attacks more than you is Mike. Sit down, Mike.
Well, Mike has 3 days to talk. We have to keep him hushed on our shows. Wait. What, Mike?
I said, you guys are lucky I could press buttons on your show or you wouldn't get on. CJ hasn't been on for the last time.
You're getting really good at this producing stuff there, Mike. I'm proud of you. You come a long way within the program.
I want to give you a shout out if I can.
We just got to get him a louder microphone so we can hear him when he keys up.
Yeah. I just want to give a huge shout out to my wonderful fiance, Dana. You know, she put up with me being gone when I was doing my other show. And when you gave me the opportunity to do this, yeah, she was like, that means you don't have to leave home. And I said, nope, but that means when you're baking on Thursday nights, that you're going to have to do it quietly.
No, and as long as she's sharing.
But I want to thank her and my boy Cameron. He prints out my stuff every week, my notes. I know
I probably make this show difficult for you guys because we go pretty in-depth and we talk throughout the week and all, and, you know, it does. I'm when you say you have a notebook, Craig, I'm pretty for sure that you do. I have a lot of loose paper around my house as I prepare these shows.
It'll all get flipped over and I'll write business notes on it for DJ gigs and things I need to get done, but, you know.
Pen and paper is the art of journalism.
Absolutely. She's a big part of everything that I do, whether it be the DJ business or co-hosting with you or, you know, whatever it is. So behind every successful man, there's an equally successful woman. I'm guaranteed of that.
Yeah, mine definitely. She vacuumed the room, got the dishes done, got the kids asleep, and well, I won't give any more details because that's inappropriate. But fact of it is, you know, the world goes around while we sit here and talk about racing, and it's due to the team that we have surrounding us. And of course, that leaves the fans, guys, the listeners, whether you're on the I-95 network or Mile High Radio or you just pick us up on the show here, you're a longtime follower of the show. We thank you guys for putting up with us and listening to us. And, you know, like Craig said, it's the surrounding staff that helps these shows go so smooth every Thursday night. And it's crazy. We syndicate a show in North Carolina. Mike is in Georgia running the show. You're in New York, and I'm down here in Mississippi, and we're live right now on the internet waves talking about racing together. Man, technology is awesome.
Yeah, it is. And, one more quick shout out to Mike Perillo, who I can't think of his partner's name, Ray Terrafin, who run Glen Ridge Motorsports Park over here in the town of Glen, New York. Their banquet is January 13th, and they have asked me to DJ and MC it. So I am honored to do that for them. It's just a busy. Most winter times are supposed to be slow for DJs, and most of them are slow in my area. Not this fat guy sitting on the couch right now.
Oh, you're the modern-day Dr. Dre, man. I tell you, this radio show is really catapulted your career. I'll just be waiting on the check.
Yeah. It's kind of like and so is she. It's just like when I DJed MC'd for Drake Bell from the Drake and Josh show a year and a half ago. My buddy said, oh, this will catapult your DJ business. It ain't done squat for the DJ business. But this show sure as hell has.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to thank Mike, too, for stepping up the last 2 weeks and producing this show for us, because without him in Long Island or Georgia or wherever he's at now sitting down relaxing, we wouldn't be able to be on the air. So, Mike, we bust your stones quite a bit, but like Chris said, we couldn't do this without you, and we're one big team, and I'm happy to be part of the family.
Yeah, definitely, guys. So all the Kumbaya's been sung, and, you know, it is kind of sad because it is the end of the year. I tell you, like I said, it's been a rough year. I never expected to have to have a new crew. All this is kind of a new situation for all of us. I think that we've done well together. I think you've committed to 19 shows this year already. We have a lot of big plans for next year. Yeah, I was going to change the name of the show, but me and Big Sweat done talked, and, Big Sweat says, hey, do what you do with it. So we're racing in Big Sweat's name, and if I ever get big, we'll pay royalties to the family because, hell, that's what we are. We're a big-ass family, and I've probably said more cuss words the last 2 weeks in the show than I ever have in my life, and I just want to thank Steve Billmeyer for giving me the guts to actually say cuss words on the radio because I don't normally do that. And, he started the show off with, how the hell are you? And he'd end the show with, it's time to go drink beer. So those are two things that being a deep Southern boy, you just didn't really have to put that out on the radio. But, we've loosened up a lot and we've had some good times and looking forward to seeing you. I know a lot of people probably think that we're going to leave, and I tell you what, if we leave, we're going to bring you with us. So it's about the fan base, it's about the teamwork, and I couldn't do it without y'all.
Absolutely, what a year it's been. Again, Mike, thank you very much. Like I said, without these 2 weeks without Mr. CJ Sports.
Yeah, and everybody's probably wondering, well, why the hell shut the show down? Well, guess what, guys? It's time to go spend some time with your family. And that's a big part of what I believe in as well. The reason why we shut the show down from now through Christmas is because, hey, it's time to go Christmas shopping. It's time to go out there and spend time with the wife and watch football, and as long as it's college football. And, of course, I'm watching the NFL right now. But, don't tell Colin Kaepernick. I mean, Kaepernick. Go ahead.
Listen, I got to ask you something. My boy has switched football teams 4 times in the last 10 weeks. He started out as a Saints fan. We got a bunch of Saints stuff in his room. And then he goes to the Eagles, or then he goes to Buffalo Bills. And now I think he's with the Eagles. I swear to God, when he grows up, he's going to be a politician because he can't ever make up his mind.
I tell you what, that Carson Wentz is one to watch. I know Philadelphia's been booing their teams for a long time, but that Carson Wentz, he really seems like the real deal. I've not spoken of the Saints all year long. If God forbid that I say that they're finally doing good and looking good, they'll go into a losing streak. But you never know. We could see we could see a good matchup between either of those two teams. And, football season's in full flare now, and racing will be back. And I figure we'll kick the show off right around third week in January, more than likely. It'll be right around the 24 hours of Daytona. I always like to get things kicked off solid then. So we'll have all the technical stuff and all worked out by then. But I don't really have much more to say other than watch you racing this weekend, support your local tracks, and stay with us as we enjoy the holidays and get ready to come back for a strong 2018 season. Mike, you got anything to close? I'm sure you want to put out your show real quick.
Yep, tomorrow's show. Highlights with stats. We got two guests. Number one, Eddie Pulipich, from the owner of the Riverhead Raceway, along with the owner of the number 6 Whalen modified tour car, which just happens to be driven by Ryan Preece. We'll talk to Eddie and see what he's got coming up at Riverhead, and also talk about his season that saw him named owner's champion of the year in the Whalen modified tour. And then we'll turn around and we'll talk to Scott Tapley, who is a race official at 3 tracks, Riverhead, Stafford, and Thompson. And he was just inducted into the New England Antique Racers Hall of Fame. So we'll talk to Scott and see how his season went and how officials gauge their success. Drivers always do it by finishes and top fives and wins. But we'll talk to him about how officials gauge their season. And that's tomorrow from 8 to 10.
All right, other than thanking Dana, Craig, what else?
You know what? I'm just excited. I mean, it's an off season. It's time to spend with family. Huge shout out to all my friends and family. Don't forget to visit the 110 Nation Sports page and vote.
And thank
for
you, Dana.
Edwards.
Thank you, Dana.
She's got a mouthful. She says,
yeah,
you're welcome.
I would normally end this with, and don't let this distract you from the fact that Al Bundy scored the game-winning touchdown against, no, hell, I can't even remember it. So it's been about that kind of year, but if you guys can finish that for me, that would be great. Stats, have a great night, and Craig Moore, you're awesome, man. Thanks for bearing with us there, buddy.
Not a problem, buddy. Hey, listen, chat me up when we get off here.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Has the show ended? What happened to the snare? Is there anybody there? Mike.